Morning. You're all wide awake. It's good to see all of your beautiful faces. So, my dear brothers and sisters, today I want to mainly focus on this St. Paul's letter to the Philippians. St. Paul is always very clear when he speaks and is always able to really cut to the truth. And as Paul is writing his letter to the Philippians, he is already in prison. He's coming close to his death. And so he's in a hard moment. And in fact, he's not only is he in prison, but if you read, I don't remember if it's Romans or Corinthians, he does a summary of kind of all of the hardships he had gone through. He was, if you remember, if you read St. Paul, he says, I was shipwrecked 3 or 4 times. I was beaten for the sake of the gospel. I've been stoned 5 or 6 times for the sake of, for the name of Jesus. St. Paul has definitely been through a lot for the kingdom of heaven and for the name of God. And so, it's interesting that as he's writing, as he's been all through that, and now he's sitting in prison and he's facing his death, it's interesting that as he faces these last years of his life, how does he face it? He doesn't face it, I think, kind of the way that we would face it, which is, we have a little bit of a suffering and we crumble, it's the end of the world, I don't know how many of us have been shipwrecked 3 times, beaten, stoned, and we get a hangnail. You ever notice you get a hangnail? And the world comes to an end. But anyway, that's a whole separate thing. Anyway, but it's interesting that as St. Paul is speaking, and he starts, the second reading that we heard today is has one verse in front of it, and it's not read today because we read it during the season of Advent, during the second week of Advent. But that line begins by saying, that we didn't read, begins by saying, rejoice in the Lord always. And so St. Paul, who is sitting in chains and facing his death, invites us to rejoice always in the Lord. Now, that's okay, we can go with that. Let's be joyful always, or at least as much as possible. We can feel, we can get it. But St. Paul, as he always does, he doesn't stop there. And we come to today's verse, which is, have no anxiety about anything. Now, I don't know about you. This may purely be me. But when I read this line, have no anxiety about anything, I was very much convicted because I am anxious about everything. And I had a funny thought this week, and I said to myself, I said, self, as I looked in the mirror, I said, self, I don't think I'm the only one who lives in a kind of constant anxious level. So I got Google and put in anxiety, and I don't know if you've ever done that, but Google comes up with a interesting study that was done in February of 2021. The study said that nearly 4 in 10 adults reported symptoms of anxiety and depression. Now, please understand, these are clinical things. So I'm not to say that we're going to pray away clinical anxiety or clinical depression. Okay, this is not what this homily is saying. But as I was looking into the mirror and I was saying, hey, self, I don't think you're the only one. I kind of thought, well, maybe if I spoke about this on Sunday, I would find some other people that kind of run always at an anxious level. Do you guys find yourselves running anxious a lot? It's not just me, right? Okay, I know it's not everybody. No, it's not everybody, but it is amazing how as a priest, I speak and see a lot of people in a lot of different situations in their lives. And one thing I have noticed in these few of 14 and a half years that I've been a priest, I've noticed anxiety is a serious issue in society, but it's particularly also a very serious issue among young people in high school and college. And I don't know if you've noticed that, but and that anxiety doesn't just come from them. It comes from them too. But that anxiety, we are affected by outside sources. And so if we as parents live at this anxious level, and what do I mean by this kind of anxiety that we pass on to our youth? It's kind of, and I've particularly seen it a lot here, well, it's everywhere, but a lot here in Fort Collins too, which is this anxiety to produce at tremendous levels. Now, I'm going to put a caveat on what I'm about to say, because there's a lot of young people in this room, and I'm really glad that you're here. And what I don't want you to do is go home and say to your mother and father, you see, mom and dad, father said that we don't have to be good students or apply ourselves or try hard. That is not what I'm saying. And so don't use my words as an excuse to say, well, I don't have to work for it. No, no. But we do, we place a tremendous amount of anxiety on ourselves to produce and to overachieve. So much so that we're not even merciful with ourselves, and we do this to the young people. And so a lot of times as we're getting ready for college, and again, my dear young people, this is not an excuse, but it is a way to ask us to live in a different way, to not pass on anxiety to the next generation. And so we get our kids involved in everything because they have to produce, and to produce they have to go to a high level college, and to get into a high level college you have to constantly have a 3.9 grade average. You've got to show that you were involved in three or four sports, plus you were involved in student council or whatever they call it nowadays, the yearbook committee, and glee club, chair club, choir one, choir two, because one choir is not enough. We're in 10 different choirs, and we are constantly living, and we wonder why we're always tense, because we live in this place of anxiety, and we don't live in a place of freedom. Which is why it's important to get a good college, to go to a good college, it's important to get a good education, it's important to do all of those things. It's important to do well in where you work, it's important to achieve. Those are all good and wonderful things, but if we let it eat us up, then, my dear brothers and sisters, we are in a place of danger. And so when St. Paul says, have no anxiety about anything, I'm immediately condemned because I live anxious. And I catch myself all the time. I'm always worried about, well, what about tomorrow? What's going to happen? What's going to happen with people who come to see me this week? What's going to happen with this or that or one thing or another? And we constantly live in the what if. What's going to happen? We do it ourselves with our vocations in life. We live in this tension. And my dear brothers and sisters, today St. Paul comes and says, have no anxiety about anything. Now, that's all well and good. Nice words. How do we do that? Well, St. Paul, who is always the master of clarity, he doesn't just say have no anxiety about anything, but he says, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. In other words, how do we fight anxiety? Well, my dear brothers and sisters, it's through prayer. But what do I mean by through prayer? Because again, that's another very kind of Catholic jargon. So St. Paul goes on and he explains. He says, finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure. So how do we fight anxiety in prayer? We hold on to what is true. And so what is true? What is the truth that we are bringing to our prayer? What is the truth that God wants to convey to you and I? Well, there are two. The first truth that God wants to convey to us is that we are sons and daughters of God. Now, you are looking at me and saying, I already know that. And I'm going to look at you and say, no, you don't. No, you don't. No, I don't. Because there is a difference between knowing something. There's a difference in knowing something. And there's a difference in believing something. Now, yes, I told you something you already know here. Right here, you know it. But here's where it doesn't go. Here's where you don't know it. You don't know it here. You don't believe it. I don't believe it. Because if we truly believed that we were sons and daughters of God, we would live our lives in a drastically different way. We live at a level of anxiety which is high because where does a lot of anxiety come from? Is a desire to control. And I don't know if we realize just how bad a bunch of control freaks we are. We must control everything. That's why we live in a constant tension and anxiety. Because we have to control it, and the anxiety comes when we realize that 90 out of 100% of the things which we attempt to control, we can't control 99% of it. We freak out because we want control and we don't have control. Or we build ourselves into a false sense of control, which we're very good at too. And so how do we fight that controlling? Well, by knowing, but by living, not just knowing, by living as sons and daughters of God, by knowing that God knows us and sees us and doesn't leave us in our situation. But we have anxiety because deep down we don't believe that. Deep down we think, if I don't control this, nobody is going to do this or take care of it. If I don't control my life, if I don't control my future, if I don't take hold of everything, nobody's going to do it for me. And so we say to God, you stay back there. I'll take care of this. And we make things worse because we have to have a sense of control. But my dear brothers and sisters, whatever St. Paul says, whatever is true, well then you and I need to be convinced of the truth. And that being convinced of the truth can only come through having a deep relationship with God. And I'm saying this, as I'm saying this to you, I am saying this to myself, and I'm only recently discovering the truth of the statement that I'm a son of God who is known and loved. And I really have a funny hunch that a lot of us don't know that and don't believe that. But God wants to convince you of that, so that we can live our lives and so that we can produce good fruit. That's why that first reading was so beautiful, was speaking about God has taken such good care to prepare the soil to plant these vines. And my dear brothers and sisters, God has taken such a good care for each one of us to prepare the soil so that in our baptism, when we receive that seed, that seed would then produce fruit. Because how do we know a tree? You say, how do you know a tree? By its fruit. How do I know if I truly believe that I'm a son of God? I produce the fruits of the Son of God, of a person who lives as believing that he's the Son of God. Do we produce the fruits of sons and daughters of God? Or do we produce anxiety, worry, sadness, always under pressure, always living in a constant tension? So my dear brothers and sisters, this is an invitation, you know, to truly take the opportunity in this week to allow the Lord to convince us of being children of God. And so this week I invite you, because now I got to give you something practical. So get your pens out while I go. Get your pens or your phones out and go to the note page, because I want you to do something this week for me. Let me get there. While you're doing that, I'll get there. Hold on. Jeremiah, where are you, Jeremiah? I'm coming. There you are. Okay. So this week, I invite you, for the next 7 days, I give you a challenge. For the next 7 days, I invite you to find 5 minutes a day. Turn the TV off, a quiet corner in your house, or a quiet moment at work. I don't care if you do it morning, midday, evening, or whenever you can do it. 5 minutes. 5 minutes. Once a day. And I'm going to invite you this week to pray with Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 5 to 8. Jeremiah 1, 5 to 8. 5 minutes a day. Asking the Lord to truly convince our hearts that we are beloved children of God, for whom He has a wonderful plan for our life. And so as we come to this Eucharist, we ask the Lord that He may give us the grace to be open to understanding our identity in Him.